Well, lots of us have been there and we've done it. When a new baby's born, we just become besotted, don't we? We visit the hospital, we get a wee hold, and we spend so long just looking into the eyes and the face of this little one. We are besotted with them. We wonder, don't we, this little bundle of joy, what will they do? Who will they be? What will be their role in the world? And then we take great delight, don't we, in watching them grow and change and develop. I think sons are especially important because they, of course, carry the family name long after we're gone. It's almost like the future is wrapped up in our children, isn't it? We say that, don't we? The children are the future. So when we listen to a story like the one we just read of a son born in the times of trouble, we might think about the future. We might even keep a good eye on this little boy and how he will change and grow and witness what he will do with his life. And of course, his name is Moses. Exodus 2, which Emma just read for us, is Moses' beginning. It's the first mention of him in the Bible. But I want us to see this morning that it's not just about him. We should notice his family tree. A man from a tribe of Levi marries a Levite woman. She gets pregnant. They give birth to a son. They see that he's a fine child, and they hide him for 3 months. The couple conceive and have a son. And it's strange times for Moses and his family, especially in Egypt. But this son, this little boy, is about more than a small family. He will do something that we still talk about when we think of the great story of God's salvation through the birth of his son. Moses is just one of those characters. Ben, Nisha, you've had a son. These are strange times. We will watch Luca grow and change, and we're keen to see what he will do with his life. What looks like a small, normal sort of thing, the birth of a little boy, is much, much more. Moses is part of one Jewish family in Egypt, but he is more. Luke is part of the Robertson family, but he's also come to be part of God's family here as well. So there's more than Moses in the story. We should also see when we read on his family's faith. His mother does what? She puts her son in the river. And she does that by faith. Later on, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Remember that part of the story that the king thought there were too many of these Jewish boys? He told the people to throw them into the river to drown them. Remember that? Moses is put in the river. We know that part of the story. But don't skip it because it's common. Listen, think for a moment about what she did. She places her son in the river. She actually obeys the law. She obeys Pharaoh by placing her son in the Nile. Remember, he had said, every son born of the Hebrews shall be cast into the Nile. Well, that's what she did. Well, you call that creative disobedience, something that children are very good at as well. She keeps the law, but she also keeps her son. So baptism today is an act of faith, but it's also an act of obedience. We acknowledge God's goodness to us in our children. We place them in the water in obedience to him. That's what the story says. Moses' mother did the same thing. And so Ben and Nisha have bought their son today. They'll put him in the water of baptism. And now we're thinking, well, why would they do that? Because it responds to God's goodness in giving us not just a son in Luca, but his son, Jesus Christ. We should probably also notice in the story the name, Moses. The child grows older. She takes him to Pharaoh's daughter. This is the mother, takes it to Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son, and she names him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." You know, Moses, it sounds like the Hebrew for drawn out. It makes us think of that moment where Moses is retrieved from the water. The problem is that the Egyptian princess's Hebrew is not quite right. Moses actually means he who draws out. I mean, what you're supposed to do there is see the future in Moses' name. He is named for what he will do. He will draw the people out of Egypt. Luca means light bringer. We know that term in the church family. We're all about the light and not the dark. And in Luca's little family, he's already brought light into their lives. He is a happy, joyful little boy. My prayer for Luca is that he would be someone who brings light, God's light, to others. That he's been named for what he will be, for what he might do. Now, we should all do that. But having a child called Luca, Lightbringer, is a good reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. And that is the direction, friends, that the baptismal vows will take us. Parents, children, church family, all of us will make our vows to help Luca find his way. Ben, Nisha, I'm sure like every other parent, we want the best for Luca. You want him to grow up and get a good education. We want him to do well in life. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all really good stuff. But then we don't baptize our babies in the school. We baptize them in church. Because the best thing we can do for them is pass on the knowledge of God. The best thing parents can do is to seek God's wisdom in our families. There's one last thing in the story of Moses that's worth remembering this morning. Moses' mother gets him back. The sister, Miriam, she follows the basket, and she goes to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" And the princess thinks this is a great idea, says, "Yep, go ahead." And she goes and gets her mother. In other words, Moses' mother is rewarded by getting her son back. There's been a big change since she put him in the water. She is now the caretaker of an adopted son of another woman, the Pharaoh's own daughter. I want you to hear that, because if there's something to take home today, it's this. A mother and a father offer their child to God and receive him back to look after them for the royal family. A mother and a father offer their child to God and they receive him back to look after him for the royal family. If you've baptized your children, this is what you've done. You've offered your children to God and received them back to look after them for the king, for God himself. Because our children are not really ours. They are God's. And why would I say that? We are to be the stewards of these little ones. The Bible tells us children are a heritage of the Lord. Offspring are a reward. They are given. In other words, you and I have got to acknowledge God with our kids. We've got to show them faith. And we should point them to Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, this is the ultimate picture of the mother and father story. Think about it. Mary was given Jesus. She received him. She took him to the temple to offer him back to God, to commit his life to the Lord. And later, she would lose him. Mary would lose Jesus for 3 days. Remember the story? They go to the temple for the big celebrations, and they're on their way back. And in the crowds, they can't find Jesus. Where is he? They don't know where he is. He's lost. Where was he? He was in the temple for 3 days talking with the teachers of the law. You know, it's a bit like Moses. Moses' mother risks losing him only to get him back. Mary would lose Jesus again for 3 days, but get him back. And because he died on the cross and was resurrected again, she would never lose him again. You know, we can have our families. Family have come today. That's great. Take pride in your family. Enjoy each other. We can love them. But if we miss acknowledging the larger family, then we will eventually lose each other. Loved ones, you've done a marvelous thing today. You've committed yourselves to God. You'll commit Luca to God. You'll offer yourselves as we family to God. And then the hard part. We've got to go out there in the crazy world and try to raise our kids for the King. The church family here will help you with that, but that's what we're thinking of today. Why don't I pray for us? Let's pray. Father, we call you Father because you are that. You're a good Father to us all. But you're also the King of Kings. You give us so much, but in our children, we are blessed in a particular way. So help us to trust you and teach them to do the same. For we put ourselves before you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.